By the way, when I throw out that title, Chairman of the National Board for the NFL Alumni Association, what does that mean? What are some of your responsibilities in that capacity?
Well, basically, I'm the conduit between the CEO and the board as far as working with the CEO of our organization, as far as initiatives, issues, as far as, legal things, as far as implementing initiatives of all alumni, whether it be medical or advocacy type things, as far as the betterment of players and the things that they're doing, and being that conduit for the board and arranging meetings and all those type of things.
You know, eventually, you know, the players that are playing today, part of the Players Association, will become members of the NFL Alumni Association. And you talk about the medical standpoint and, you know, protecting those individuals that have set up the foundation of what we now see, you know, from a success standpoint that the NFL is. But especially with the issues that have come up in recent years, concussions and the impact that they have had on players' health after they have retired. Do you get a lot of cooperation as well with the current NFL Players Association?
Well, a lot of times with the current player association, a lot of times the focus is on the active player. One of the things about the alumni, everything is just strictly focused on the former player. And a lot of times it crosses over in some degrees. There is a segment with the union as far as working with the former players in certain capacities, but you know, all day, every day, alumni is former players, and you try to work together. You try to do things. A lot of things overlap, but the mission is the same.
All right, let's go back to last week, the divisional rounds of the playoffs. First on Saturday, you know, Andrew Luck, winners, helping the Colts win 10 out of their last 11 games, and the wild card weekend was able to go in and dominate Houston on Houston's home turf. And yet it was the first-year starter and one Patrick Mahomes leading Kansas City. They get off to the hot start and really never look back against the Colts on Saturday.
No, I agree totally. I didn't see the Colts, you know, laying an egg like that, so to speak. Obviously, you know, you would say weather be a factor. A lot of times when you have teams that come from a dome environment, late January, you know, those type of things rear its ugly head, so to speak. But when you have something like Arrowhead is a very tough place to play. Played there, it gets very loud. Obviously, it was cold. You know, you had some snow, all those type of things like that. And once you get up and get a lead like Kansas City had, it's very tough because that crowd gets involved, and obviously the protection broke down with Luck, and a lot of the things that they banked on during the course of their winning streak, a lot of that stuff fell through in the playoff game.
You know, we look at the Dallas Cowboys, and, you know, they get off to the good start in the opening week, knocking off Seattle. I thought that was a very impressive win for them. Then on Saturday, they had to travel to take on the Los Angeles Rams. Jared Goff, third-year starter as far as leading that offense for the Rams. And then you look at what Todd Gurley brings to the mix. But in the end, you know, if there's a franchise that, you know, America's team, you know, the bottom line is you just look at, you know, record-wise regular season. We're talking about 500 team over the last 22 seasons, a team that, counting that win against Seattle, you know, only three playoff wins since the beginning of the 97 campaign. I guess the best way to sum it up is just they've underachieved. Would you not think so?
Yeah, well, when you look at the Cowboys, you know, obviously, it was a tough situation. I mean, obviously, going out to L.A., anytime that they have a situation where they had to play from behind and play catch-up, they're not built for that. You know, that puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Dak, you know, having to make big plays and play without him, I mean, outside of himself and not within himself, it puts him in a tough situation. And anytime when you have the L.A. Rams with the running game that they had that day, not only Gurley but Anderson, you put that kind of yards up, it'll wear down the defense. As you can see, the Vantage Dallas defense, you know, obviously wore down. They were giving up chunks of yards. And anytime you can control the game like that and have a lead, it's very hard for any team to come back, especially a young team, and to have a quarterback who isn't doesn't have the makeup to make up points like that. But if the game had stayed close, you know, it could have fell more toward Dallas's favor, but it got out of hand for them.
Al Smith joining us again on Sunday. I kind of felt bad for Phillip Rivers. I just thought that, you know, when you look at his career, I was kind of hoping that he would get that extra feather in his cap. You know, here's somebody that's accumulated a lot of great stats, and certainly during an era with, you know, you look at what his competition has been like as far as at quarterback during that reign, whether you're talking Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger. You could throw Brett Favre in that mix as well. Even you look at, you know, what Drew Brees has accomplished. I was really hoping that he would be able to at least get the Chargers to the Super Bowl, not necessarily winning one, but getting there. But boy, the Patriots certainly showed everybody that they're not ready to give up this the mantelpiece. I look at the matchups in the on the NFC side over the last 8 years, you know, 16 different possibilities of teams, right? 11 different teams of the 16 on the NFC side, which, you know, by the way, the NFL loves that kind of stat, which means that's parity right there, right? You look at the AFC side of things over the last 8 years, 16 different possibilities, only 7 different teams, and that's because the Patriots have been there in the AFC title game now for 8 straight years after blowing out the Chargers on Sunday.
Well, the Patriots are obviously built for this time of the year. I mean, that experience. When you look at it, you look at all the guys that have been in and out of their lineup, you know, from the receiver getting suspended and having guys in and out at different times, Gronk being hurt, Edelman, you know, those guys that have been in and out of the lineup at the beginning of the year. They do what they do. You know, they have a system. That's why you don't have a lot of stars on their team. They have a lot of guys that play well within the system. And when they're called upon and when they get their opportunity, you know, they perform. And that's one thing that, you know, I always have liked about, you know, about them. You know, it's about the Patriot way and what they do, not necessarily what someone else does or what someone else expects them to do. They come out and be themselves. And this type of year, it manifests itself because of the fact that they've been there. Now they've been to the championship game. They won on the road. Obviously, they're a lot better at home in this situation. I think this is going to be a tough task for them this weekend against KC. But at the same time, going against a young quarterback like Mahomes, they feel like they can be in the game. But if they have to play from behind and do some things like that and Arrowhead, it's going to be tough for them. It's not going to be an easy game for the Patriots, but they've been battle-tested.
I want to throw a stat by you. The fact that, you know, counting the Sunday game for the Patriots against the Chargers, 67 straight starts for Tom Brady at the helm of the Patriots when they entered a ball game as a favorite. Now, there was that stretch early on in 2016 where the Patriots were not a favorite when Brady was serving the 4-game suspension. But you take that away, 67 straight times, and that will be coming to an end on Sunday as the Kansas City Chiefs are favored by a field goal at home against the Patriots. What does that kind of a streak mean to you with regards to odds? I know as a former player, it didn't necessarily get caught up in those kind of numbers, but at the same time, now looking back, you know what that means, and you know what that means as far as respect for a team, and especially a team being led by somebody by the name of Tom Brady.
Well, the one thing is consistency. They always show up when it's time to show up. They always answer the bell. You know, right now, their mantra is, you know, we're not respected. You know, who wouldn't respect them? You know, you just laid out the stat line of how many years they've been in the NFC Championship game or been in the playoffs or what have you. So you would think they would have respect, but they feel like they're being disrespected this year because they've been, you know, kind of fumbled their way through or stumbled, so to speak, their way through into this position, but they're still in the same position. So it doesn't matter how you get there, but they got there, and they have Tom Brady. He stayed healthy. He's been upright. He's not limping into the playoffs or what have you. They're running the game is pretty solid, and they still have their outside weapons that can methodically move the ball down the field and not necessarily make that big bomb to Randy Moss type play week in and week out, but at the same time, methodically, they can have a long drive, as you can see, because San Diego or L.A., Chargers, you know, they're still able to kind of make those plays and make those long drives and keep drives alive. So they still are the Patriots because they will do what they do. And you have to respect that about them.
Last week, the New Orleans Saints were taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that they had completely dominated in the regular season, 48-7. First of all, the Eagles get off to the fast start, up 14-0, and then they don't score again the rest of the way. The Saints team is winning, but they're winning completely differently in the second half of the season compared to what they were doing in the first half. In the first half, they were just playing out, just outscoring everybody. But somewhere along the line, you know, all of a sudden you started seeing this outstanding defense. Now, take away Week 17 with Tampa Bay, where a lot of players were getting rested, getting their rest, getting ready for the playoff run. But with regards to what this Saints defense has been able to do, it kind of changes the complexity of how this game could play out on Sunday afternoon.
Well, it definitely can play out differently. With one thing that they have done is they've won different ways. You've seen Drew Brees not be at his best at times, but you've seen him at his best at the opportune times. Just like, you know, when they came back, you know, obviously they were down early in the game. You know, they stayed within themselves. They still stayed within the game. They didn't let the game get away from them. Their defense stepped up when they needed to step up, made some timely turnovers, and obviously it's no guarantee if Jeffries catches that ball and doesn't give up that interception at the end, it's no guarantee that they were going to get a touchdown. But at the same time, they were opportunistic in that they took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to them. And when he missed that ball, you know, that pretty much sealed the deal for him. But you can never count them out, especially in the dome with that noise, that home crowd. And anytime the Rams, you know, it's not going to be easy pickings for the Rams. Obviously, they played the Rams, but now they have another running back that they can throw into the mix, you know, this time around as well. So it's going to be a real good game. But, the Saints, you know, you definitely can't count them out at home.
Al Smith joining us again. You know, whether we're talking about games deciding championships at the college level or, you know, what we saw last week where, you know, the winner gets to advance to their conference title game. And, you know, I hate seeing what we saw with, you know, with the Bears kicker Cody Parker during the wild card week. And I certainly hated seeing what happened to Alshon Jeffery. You know, you talk about the pass that, you know, was right there in his hands and went through his hands. If that ball is completed, I'm not so sure that the Eagles don't continue down the field and actually pull that game out. But I hate seeing a season come to an end when you have a star like that, you know, just not play like a star, if you know what I mean. Because I know the backlash, the fact that what they have to live through in the off season, that has to be pure torture for them.
Well, it's definitely torture. I mean, with the difference between obviously, the Bears, kicker, obviously, you know, he missed that kick. I guess it was some force that, you know, maybe the ball was tipped possibly or what have you. But that, you know, that one play would have won the game for them or not won the game for them. The Jeffries play is that it was a play to lead to hopefully get in the end zone. It was no guarantee they get in the end zone. A field goal wasn't going to do them any good at that point. So they had to score a touchdown, and him missing that play, obviously, he has been a big part of them even getting to that point in the season. So obviously it's a tough pill to swallow because you got to carry that into the offseason. I liked how his teammates rallied around him, his coach rallied around him. People, you know, the teammates understand. I mean, it hurts, but at the same time, he's been there for him more often than not. I think he kind of seemed like he took his eye off the ball or was kind of anticipating contact before contact going across the middle. And it was unfortunate. It kind of went through his hands. And if it was an incomplete pass, we wouldn't have been talking about it. You know, they would have lined up and played it again. But at the same time, it tipped off and became an interception and became final. And you saw the reaction. And it's painful because you take the weight of your, not only your team, but your city, your family. I mean, everybody feels that type of pain, which is easy when you're sitting on a couch at home, but when you're out there, it's a totally different feeling.
course, it takes some of the pain out knowing that the Eagles were last year's Super Bowl champs. You know, for programs and franchises that are still waiting for their first opportunity to get to a Super Bowl, whether it's like the Browns or Detroit or teams like the Jets that have not been there since Super Bowl III, it's a different conversation, obviously, to what the Eagles went through knowing that they were there and they were the last team standing back in February. As far as these matchups this weekend, you know, we can go two different directions. We could have a Super Bowl featuring two first ballot Hall of Famers with Tom Brady and the Patriots, along with Drew Brees and the Saints. We could get a battle of the young gunslingers with regards to a Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City and Jared Goff with the Los Angeles Rams, or a combination of both of them for this year's Super Bowl. Either way, as sports fans and fans of football, we're going to get rewarded this year.
Yeah, that's one thing. One thing I always like, you know, no matter what kind of final it is, it could be college championship, you know, NBA championship, or whatever the case may be, just having a good series and having a good game. And I think, you know, fans couldn't ask for much more with good matchups. You have one versus two on both sides of it. And you know, it's going to be a heavyweight fight, so to speak. They're going to slug their way through. And I don't think it would disappoint, because if you look at the history of the two, obviously with New Orleans and L.A., they had that high-scoring game in New Orleans, and it was a very exciting game. Obviously, L.A. came out on the short end of that deal, but as far as being a fan watching that game, that was a very exciting game. Until the end, you didn't know who was really going to win, because it goes back and forth. They could put some points up. When you look at KC and New England, obviously KC can put some points up. New England can at times. So if you can't ask much more from a fan's perspective. And as far as the quarterback situation, you know, having the old guns and the young guns going at it, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, because, you know, two of them already have rings and two of them don't. So there is some motivation there.